The homily for this Sunday, the third Sunday in Lent, will be largely focused on the Gospel text in the interest of time. It is, after all, a rather long account from the fourth chapter of John's Gospel, taking up a total of 37 verses. We only hear it once in 3 years in Lent, in the lectionary cycle A, which we are in this year. It is very apropos for the season of Lent because it speaks of the nature of conversion, which Lent always invites us to. And it is particularly apt as well for the catechumens, who by now should be called the elect, because it addresses something so pertinent and relevant for them just weeks before their encounter with the life-giving waters of baptism, which should take place on Holy Saturday night's Easter Vigil Mass. But with the very unpredictable state of affairs throughout the world, with the COVID-19 pandemic facing almost every country, we can't even be sure that Mass would take place. This recorded homily for this Sunday is posted on the internet to give some spiritual sustenance to the faithful who have no access to the Eucharistic celebration wherever in the world they may be. Conversion is such a mystery. Each one of us experiences it in different ways, with different intensities, and because of different circumstances in life as well. But no matter how long it may have taken for us to want to respond by living converted lives, no matter how complicated the battle and struggle it had been to face our inner demons and strange addictions and come to that point to man up to the need to say enough is enough to the sins that weigh us down in life, what we should always be fully aware of is that all the while, God had not been absent. This is shown in the story of the woman at the well by the fact that Jesus was already at the well when the woman went there to draw water from it. It is a metaphor that tells us that God is always ready to meet us in whatever situation we may be in life. It is also a metaphor of what the Church has always taught about the primacy of grace. Some of you may be hearing this phrase for the first time. Well, if it is, I hope it isn't the last time that you will be hearing it mentioned. So what is it, this primacy of grace? Put simply, it's the theological principle that nothing good can happen only because we have willed it to happen. For anything good to happen, and conversion is definitely a good, God's initiative is always the first to work, where he urges us, prompts us, beckons us, and draws us, as it were, invisibly, to find him and his love attractive, beautiful, interesting, and something that we ultimately desire. The primacy of grace also reminds us of the need to cultivate humility in our spiritual lives, because it prevents pride from falsely believing that just on our own, whether it's our own smarts or our own goodness, we can reach God and attain sanctification. The second thing that we should bear in mind when it comes to living converted lives is that it often happens only when we are seriously and painfully honest with ourselves. Most of the time, we delude ourselves and excuse ourselves from thinking that we're okay and that there is no conversion that's needed. The truth is that every one of us needs conversion. The only ones who do not need conversion are the saints in heaven. Everyone else is a work in process. The woman in the Gospel was very honest when Jesus asked her to bring her husband to him. She said she had no husband. Although she had 5 men in her life, she was truthful enough to admit that the one she was currently living with at home was not her husband. 5 husbands. Imagine that. She sounded like the Elizabeth Taylor or the Zsa Zsa Gabor of her day. But this too can be used or seen as a metaphor. A husband, after all, is one to whom a woman is totally devoted to, who gives her life over to, trusts and loves exclusively, and commits her entire life to. In our lives, many of our problems come from the fact that we have imbalanced priorities and misplaced loyalties. In that sense, we too can be guilty of being totally devoted to things, to projects, and to people who should not be getting our entire lives, trust and love and lifelong commitments. These are are our inordinate addictions and attachments that leave us a bit like that woman thirsting for more and more after we drink. These can not only be our false husbands, but can also be our false gods as well. An interesting note is that the name of the false god or idol that's featured often in the Old Testament is called Baal, and Baal is also the Hebrew word for husband. So when one worships a false god, one also is worshipping another husband, and hence also committing adultery, but this time at a divine level. Conversion happens when we admit that we have them. That's the first step in the conversion process. We name them, and when we do, they begin to loosen their death-like grip on us and on our souls. But we need to be able to see them clearly for what they are and name them for what they are. Now, when that woman came to the well, we are told that it was the sixth hour, meaning it was high noon. And in an uncovered well, that is the only time when the sun is able to shine its rays of light right to the bottom of the well, bringing light to what for most part of the day is shaded, covered, and hence hardly visible. In John's Gospel, Jesus is the light of the world. And when we are aware of Jesus' light shining clarity into the dark spots of our lives and allow him to do that, we will be able to see the falseness and the short-term happiness that our sins and addictions give us in life. We need to admit of the things that have made us drink so copiously in, sometimes by the buckets full, thinking that we are slaking our thirst when in fact we are pumping them incessantly into our lives, and because of that, they have made us dehydrated and parched within, leaving us more thirsty and unhappy afterwards. A bit like drinking salty water when there is nothing else to drink, when one is stranded perhaps out in the open waters of the ocean. In fact, thirst in the human person is featured in our first reading this Sunday, which is an excerpt from the book of Exodus, where we see the Hebrew people complaining to Moses for having taken them out of Egypt. Egypt, which is a metaphor for sin and the life of slavery. We need to come to the realization that giving in to sin is always only going to make us happy for the moment or for the short term. And in reality, it gives us a nice from far, but far from nice experience in life. The converted life allows Jesus and his light to expose what's at the bottom of the well of our hearts. And when we do that, we will admit humbly of what's truly making us thirsty and what really quenches our deepest thirst in life as well. Our Lenten practices are what help to make this possible, where we give ourselves over to the Lord more and more, giving him the top spot that shines at the high noon of our lives. The third and final metaphor for consideration in this account for all of us is a simple action that the woman did after she met Jesus. We are told that she put down her water jar. It's a small action, but it tells a lot. It reveals that she finally saw the futility of her addictions, false husbands, and things that she had committed so much of her life to. These were what gave her only water that satisfied perhaps only for the moment, but not what truly gave life in a lasting and eternal way. In Jesus, she found what she had been looking for, whereas before, like the U2 song goes, she still hadn't found what she was looking for. We too need to put down our water jars and leave them at the wrong wells that we had been drawing from all our lives. This is our shared call to conversion, but it isn't always going to be easy. It isn't going to be painless, and for sure, it's going to take a lot of effort. We need to be patient with ourselves, and some of us may find ourselves sometimes walking back to the old water jars, going to the old wells, and wanting a taste, perhaps only a sip of that water. There's a word for that. It's called backsliding. If only conversion was a one-time effort. Well, it isn't. There is no quick fix to long-term conversion. Like I always say, it's more like a two-step forward, one-step back action. And we have to be patient with ourselves as well, because God too is patient with us. Jesus was at that well before the woman went there. God too is waiting for us patiently in our lifelong conversion journey. God love you.